Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Oklahoma Perspective. Eastgate Metroplex is an indoor, mixed-use, professional retail complex in Tulsa at 21st and Aspen. The building was originally a shopping mall that opened in 1984 as the Eastland Mall, but was revitalized into its current use after years of decline. Recently, KRMG's Russell Mills talked to Gary Chauvin about Eastland Mall and what it took to revitalize the area.
Okay, so explain to us what this is. And the way that I got on this story was we had a mall in East Tulsa, Eastland Mall, which struggled. And a few years back, it looked like it was just going to shut down and go away and maybe even get bulldozed. I mean, it was kind of dire. It has made a resurgence. It's made a major comeback, but not as a shopping mall. It's been repurposed in some very interesting ways. So is this primarily what you do, or are you more of a general developer who does all kinds of stuff?
No, it's primarily what I've done for the last, I guess, 18 years. I mean, I was originally approached by a group of investors on the West Coast that had an idea about repurposing, looking actually for customer service locations to set up customer service call centers, as the Tulsa community likes to call them, call centers. I prefer to call them customer service centers because they, you know, they're doing different levels of in-call and out-call services. And mainly what was happening is that we approached a group back in 1999 to place a call center or to place a customer service center into a location in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And ideally, shopping centers or older shopping centers are ideally suited for high employee-based operations. You know, the real estate is such that the buildings were, you know, high roof clearances, open spacing, ample parking, typically in good locations, so close to public transportation. So basically, from 99 to 2002, the group I was with, we did three or four of these around the country: Chattanooga, Baton Rouge, Fort Pierce, Florida. And the model in each case was the same. I mean, they were secondary market communities, 600,000-700,000 people. That the mall that we ended up repurposing was typically the first mall of the time in that area. And as you know, as areas grew, second and third malls would come. And if institutional owners weren't savvy enough and, you know, forward thinking enough to see the new tenants, the tenants would move to these new locations, and these facilities would end up being continually more and more vacant and then fall into grayfield status and, you know, blight and what have you. So it happened. I mean, it's pretty much, I mean, there's almost at one point, I mean, there's a deadmalls.com that profiles all of these, and it's gotten substantially worse. What is one thing that's a given: when a mall fails, the opportunity to bring it back retail is almost impossible in its current state. I mean, most retail real estate groups within their organizations, you know, if you try to go to them and say, we're going to repurpose and we want to bring back, you know, the Gap to where it was or the Old Navy or something, it's just not going to happen. You know, so the options are to scrape it and put it into another, just do it for land and do something different. You might try to do fulfillment centers and some kind of, industrial use. And our approach was to kind of bring them back into a mixed-use business center. And our concept was, you know, the first thing you do on something like this is, you know, it's kind of like a big ship that's run aground. I mean, the first thing you need to do is kind of get it up and floating and the first deal or two is typically you're pursuing as an office component. Once you get bodies there, then little by little you start some momentum. And then the idea is, depending on, you know, where you are, you know, the services and amenities to service that workforce. You know, it really, you're not necessarily trying to bring retail back in. You're trying to bring whatever services are needed to enhance the employment base of these people. So it's more of a, you know, it's more of an HR function than it really is anything else. You know, if an employee can show up at work, have ample parking, the employer's operational costs and rental costs are very reasonable, and they have the ability, because of the amenities, to attract and retain quality employees. That's the key. I mean, the large customer service operations, their biggest expense is in employee training. The ability to attract and retain is key. So if the facilities have daycare, if they have all the amenities, dry cleaners, medical, you know, obstetricians, gynecologists, daycare facilities, municipal services, kiosks for, you know, for dental, medical, health and fitness. It's the whole idea, because, you know, the workforce, they have half hour, 45 minutes for lunch. And, you know, they're in locations that need to be self-sufficient. And it's basically been the model, you know, and Tulsa was a tough one. I mean, Tulsa was one of the more difficult ones, just because, you know, the notion and the mentality about what it was and where it was physically located, you know, was stigma to some people in the area. You know, one of the first deals that we did there was Coca-Cola bringing in a large customer service center into the former JCPenney's. It was one of the easier ones of all of them, because they weren't from Tulsa. They didn't have any preconceived notions about that location. Second thing we did was, you know, almost philanthropic. It was a, you know, a childhood education center. But getting, you know, and the other thing that was very proud of is, first time in its history that the University of Phoenix ever opened up a location that wasn't on a major freeway, you know, and it was, you know, it was a state of the art. It was their flagship facility. You know, the ironic or unfortunate thing is, you know, the delivery system of a company like the University of Phoenix, when we first did their deal in, I think, 2009, was, you know, 85% classrooms and 15% online. You know, we did a 10-year deal, 40,000 feet, and within the first year, they expanded for 4 additional classrooms and an additional 5,000 feet. Their enrollment spiked. I mean, it was unbelievable. And then, unfortunately, that system, you know, that delivery system changed. I mean, the world changed for secondary education, and, you know, everything went from 85% in classrooms and 15% online to the other way around. You know, 85% online and 15% and even lessening classroom. So it was an unfortunate change. There's another company that was at that we brought into Eastgate that was over at Cityplex when we first brought them over, and their employee turnover was, we understood it to be, fairly high when they came to Eastgate, and new state-of-the-art facility, ample free parking, et cetera. You know, their retention rate just changed exponentially. So it's been a very good situation for a lot of these tenants that have been there. It's everything that we described it would be. And, you know, it's something that you may see happening more and more. I mean, you know, there's a lot of problem malls in the country because retail is certainly, you know, hurting in that type of environment.
Well, you touched on exactly what's going on, obviously, which is that online shopping and you know, the paradigm of how people go out and get their stuff has shifted dramatically. And we've seen some really big retailers all but disappear. Some have disappeared entirely. I'm thinking about Radio Shack and Toys R Us and Sears, and, you know, I could go on and on.
No, it is. You know, and there's an example. I'm not exactly sure where it was, but a large is either Bed Bath & Beyond or Container Store, one of the two. Big Bed Bath & Beyond facility closed its retail operation and reopened as a fulfillment center, taking online orders. So, I mean, it's interesting that it was the same business in the same building, but, you know, the fulfillment center notion of online, you know, may be a good use for these, you know, entertainment centers. I mean, you know, the physical components or the physical characteristics of these centers make them ideal for what we've done, you know, in Tulsa and what I've done in other locations, because it's, you know, the structures are such, the parking, et cetera. But it has to do a lot of it, you know, it has to do with the employment capabilities. You know, this has worked well for Tulsa, and, you know, Tulsa's next, I mean, it's growing, but one of the key things that I've seen in the 9 or 10 years that I've been working on that project there was, you know, air travel. You know, it's very difficult to get a company to consider relocating, you know, one of its branches or one of its divisions into a location that its managers may spend the entire day getting there because of, you know,
having to connect flights. No direct flights. Yeah,
exactly. That is what, you know, I mean, when asked over the years, I mean, what's the big key or the biggest impediment? I mean, you know, our economic development in Tulsa pretty much limited to the Coca-Cola facility and now some others since then, obviously. But a lot of them have been relocated from the area. You know, Tulsa will start, you know, and Tulsa's growing and it's improving all the time. But air travel will be the key. I mean, if that airport can then start, you know, expanding and having nonstops from more locations than just, you know, Dallas, Houston, Atlanta, and Chicago, there's a great opportunity, you know, great opportunity for it to grow.
Yeah, they're working on that. They've recently added flights to Los Angeles, Orlando. There's a couple others, but I mean, they're aware that it's a thing, and they are working on it.
Sure. Yeah, no, I mean, but that is, I mean, without a doubt, probably one of the biggest things, because quality of life, you know, cost of living, is all very appealing, you know, and it sets the stage. And in locations, you know, typically where these centers that, you know, typically what's happened, Russell, is these centers are usually the first center that was built in a certain area or the second one, and where the growth was expected or where the growth was. Well, I mean, the Tulsa location, I mean, it was simple as, you know, that's where that east part of Tulsa is where everything was expected. There was geological issues and rock and physical characteristics that made it difficult. That's why the center failed as a mall early on during its early development twice, and then was finally taken over and finished by Simon. But by then, you know, I mean, most of the residential had moved south towards Broken Arrow. And that's, you know, my understanding is, you know, it's a 2-mile gap that as a result of what, you know, you couldn't develop residential to the level needed to around there just because of the ground conditions. You know, so,
interesting.
The point being is that they tend to be in areas where there was growth planned and the residential area is such that, you know, could help sustain, you know, high employment numbers.
So let me make sure that I understand part of this concept is that you have businesses in there, you have offices, you have fulfillment centers, but you also have some of the amenities that employees might need, like, I don't know, an urgent care outfit, daycare,
sure,
stuff like that. That's all basically in the same location. It makes life right, much easier for the employees.
Case in point, we would design it, the services and the amenities to meet it. So case in point, University of Phoenix, when they were there, had a continuing ed evening program. So the daycare worked with them and provided for, you know, drop-off service. So if you're in a graduate program, let's say, after your 9-to-5 job and you went to the University of Phoenix at Eastgate, and you could bring your child, drop them off for the 2 hours you were in class. So the whole idea is these amenities, so these services are customed to the businesses that are there. That's one classic example of what was going on. And unfortunately, you know, I mean, University of Phoenix, you know, because of its business model, ended up changing. But yeah, I mean, that is what it is. I mean, somebody can come, you know, the daycare, they have a pediatric, you had obstetrics, gynecologists, because high numbers of women, you have health and fitness workout facilities, you have health and beauty, you know, the Paul Mitchell School, nail salon, You know, we have the driver's license office there from a municipal standpoint. You have, you know, kind of like a C store. We joke that it's a quick trip without gas that's right down in that area. You know, we've got an food services for the employee base because, you know, at this point, Russell, I mean, we have about 7,000 people there, you know, on a daily basis. So, I mean, it's interesting to see that, you know, that part, I don't know if you ever tried to come out there after 10 o'clock, but that parking lot is a challenge these days. Just, you know, it's, which is a good, I mean,
I was going to say, good challenge to have if you're the owner of that facility. So,
yeah, great problem.
Another trend that I've read about, and I don't know if you are involved in this at all, is taking some of these older malls and repurposing them for senior life, having actual, you know, apartments or, you know, homes, but then also incorporating some of the things that you were talking about, fitness centers, maybe a swimming pool, or, you know, places for people to walk, people to gather, to eat together, or to, you know, do activities or whatever. Have you ever gotten involved in any of those type situations?
We did. I mean, the former Dillard's at Eastgate, which is the three-story office building that currently now houses Enterprise Rental Car and Capital One, was at one point we were looking hard at a senior housing facility. So, it makes perfect sense. It just at that point, you know, the opportunity for the office, you know, was more apparent. But no, I mean, it would make perfect sense. I mean, it's because those amenities work very well for, you know, the senior housing need. And we had actually designed it, you know, for when you get into senior care. I mean, there's the independent, and then there's a little bit more of the needs.
The assisted.
To a certain extent. Yeah. The assisted, exactly. So the idea was, you know, we were designing one that would hit all three levels if need be. So, I mean, we, you know, there really isn't any concept that you can name that one way, shape, or form we didn't, you know, contemplate, look at, research, and see what could be done from, you know, from indoor hockey to, you know, to indoor roller rinks to, you know, you name it, you know, everything. And fortunately, we have a very good mix right now. I mean, we're 93% occupied. It's all long-term leases. It's doing, you know, we've had a couple tenants that were the early tenants back in 2008 and 2009 that renewed and extended, not only renewed, but expanded their size and extended their term, which is proof that the concept and the whole mission is working. It works exactly the way it's supposed to. So, you know, but tell us, you know, it, in some cases, you know, we stayed a little bit away as much as we could from the energy sector. And most of ours right now is, you know, it's not, I don't want to say it's recession proof, but they're all doing fairly well. I mean, you know, you'd have rental car places are dealing with the Uber challenge. I mean, everybody's got business challenges, but it's all worked out pretty well. And they seem to be doing well, and the prospects for the future are good, and we're bringing in new tenants and new services. So it's gone very well, you know. And so, there's recently been, you know, some, we've had some new groups come in. So, you know, the Tulsa World's article wasn't really accurate, but
I never read their article. I read the news release that you sent out, and so I'm just kind of going on. I like to do primary sources, but
yeah.
But it sounds to me like, I mean, it's fair to say that this is a success story. Took a mall that was basically mothballed and repurposed it into what is now a fairly thriving business community with 93% occupancy. And like you said, they're to the point where their parking lot's getting full.
Right. And all this is done with private money and very little help to no help from any municipal
No taxpayer dollars involved here. This is business people getting together and solving a problem.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, I would have to say, given the size of the development and everything else, it's got to be one of the largest and most successful projects of its type in Tulsa that I know of. You know?
In the country.
Yeah.
Gary Chauvin, developer of Eastgate Metroplex. Special thanks to KRMG's Russell Mills for the interview. This is Oklahoma Perspective for Cox Media Group. I'm Bert Williams.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.